Welcome to the Luminous Podcast, weekly meditations, readings, and blessings to assist with our rest, peace, and spiritual wellness. You can find out more at luminousanglican.com.
Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, good morning, all. I'm happy to be here with you this morning. I do love so much the imagery of Good Shepherd and Good Shepherd Sunday. We have our beautiful stained glass behind us to remind us of that metaphor. But I do have a confession to make in the midst of that, is that I really don't like sheep. If you've been around sheep at all, they're horrid creatures. They really are. They're absolutely one of the worst. We didn't have many. I grew up on a farm. We did not have many sheep on the farm, but those that we had, they were just awful. For some reason, my dad didn't put them in a pen. They just kind of ruined our property. So you'd be standing in the lawn, not anywhere near the barns, talking with someone. And we had this one sheep, and it wasn't even a ram. It wasn't you. And she would just kind of sidle up really slowly, so you wouldn't know she's there. You know what I mean? You're basically just kind of chatting. And all of a sudden, she'd get close enough, and she'd take two quick steps and just ram her head into your lower back. And yeah, so I mean, maybe that's just me, but not fun. There was one exception that I will say. My mom, I don't know why, but for some reason when I was little, my mom got a little tiny black lamb, and she brought it in the house. And I think the reason being is that at that point in my mom's life, like, she had just given up, because my sister bought a horse in the house, my brothers had bought calves in the house. My older brothers bought my dad a motorcycle for his birthday one year and brought that in the house. Like, she's like, okay, if anyone can do it, I'm doing it. And we had this little black lamb that ran around our house for a while. It was named Permanzer Briggen. For those of you who are Swiss Olympic skier fans from the 80s, gold medalist, downhill gold medalist. Cute, but even Permanent was dumb. They're just dumb animals. So I kind of take umbrage to the fact that we are called sheep in this picture, you know, in this metaphor. That's who we are. But it does make sense, unfortunately. Sheep. Sheep will run and hide, like us often. There was one sheep named Shrek, if you guys heard the story, in New Zealand. Who hated being shorn. He hated, you know, like the 2-minute process of being shorn, couldn't deal with it, ran away. 6 years later, they found this sheep hiding in a cave. There was enough wool on him to produce 20 men's suits, about 60 pounds of wool on this sheep. But, I mean, it's so much like us. Like, we will do anything to avoid that momentary pain of the shearing. We will do so much to avoid it and bring so much more pain into our lives. Sheep can't help themselves. Another one I don't like to put on myself, but sheep, there's actually a term for a sheep that if sheep will fall over and they can't get back up, which you think would be the easiest thing to do, they're called cast sheep. So there's actually a term for sheep that just are not smart enough to get off the ground. And that's us. They also, and this is kind of, this one kind of fascinates me, and once I tell you this, you won't be able to unsee it. Sheep have rectangular pupils. Which is why when you look at a sheep's face, they're a little off. Like, it seems like you look at a sheep and you're like, that face doesn't quite register with me. But their pupils are rectangular, and paired with how kind of where their eyes are and the shape of their head, it gives them 320 degrees of vision around them. Which is great for seeing things that come to you, but if you've ever seen like a rabbit run away from you and it kind of like does that thing where it cuts back and forth, because basically it's like, oh, there's something there, I'll go this way. Oh, there's something there, I'll go this way. It basically thinks that the thing is changing direction with it as it sees us. So it basically just overreacts to everything around it, in a way. Much like us, where, you know, we have, you know, always trying to find new ways to get, be offended and take offense of. But the one thing that sheep do really well, even though they're dumb, is that they can remember other sheep and other people for years. Cambridge University did a study where they put faces on different gates, and there was one face that led to food. And so basically the sheep figured out, okay, that face means food. And they figured out 3 years later, they brought the sheep back and they still remember that face and that the face means food. So yes, sheep are horrible, horrible things. And unfortunately, we are like them in so many ways. But the beautiful thing about, I think, Good Shepherd Sunday is that this metaphor of shepherd is so deep and so beautiful. And I love that, like, it's not the great King's Sunday. It's not the great Creator Sunday. It's not Lord of all Sunday. It's the great Shepherd Sunday. It's a very humble, lowly way to present the God of the universe and the Savior of all. And beautifully, it wasn't something that, like, the New Testament writers are like, hey, let's do this. Let's make up this thing, Good Shepherd. It's such a dominant theme throughout Scripture, this idea of the shepherd. If you look at the line of Jesus, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David were all shepherds. He was a man who came from shepherds. There were shepherds all around. In that time, that would have been one of the biggest jobs, one of the most widespread jobs of the time was to be a shepherd. It's this beautiful metaphor in so many ways, and one of the things as I was preparing this, like, it was one of those homilies that just kept getting longer and longer and longer. And so I spared you. I've tried to rein myself back in, but there's just so much depth here, and there's so many beautiful things to look at. The concept of us being sheep, the concept of what it means to be a flock, of what a shepherd, how a shepherd protects his flock from wolves and things. Just fascinating. What a sheepfold is and how it's different than a flock. A sheepfold in the Middle East would have been, in Jesus' time, kind of, they were built out of rings of stones usually because there wasn't a lot of wood. And so it would be this ring of stones at different places around the pastures where they would take the sheep. And at night, they would take them in. And this is my one rabbit trail, I promise you. But when Jesus says, I am the gate, he literally means he's the gate. Because in that stone ring, there was no gate. There was no wooden gate built. It was just a small hole. And the shepherd would stand in that hole or sleep in that hole to protect the sheep at night. And so the shepherd literally is the gate, the fold. Just beautiful, beautiful imagery. But I think these all kind of speak to me, though, to kind of, in essence, the centrality. If you think about the world of the sheep, that shepherd is their life and is their world. I think this Sunday speaks to the centrality of Christ in our lives. I love the picture that we have here in our liturgy of, and if you're new to Luminous, one of the ways we kind of represent the centrality of Jesus here is that the gospel, which is brought in, and you may notice when we walk in, we bow to it. We're not bowing to that book, even though it's beautiful. We're bowing to that as a representation of Christ in our lives. So that book represents Jesus as we bring him into the midst of us. And then I love, and I know it's kind of awkward sometimes that we all turn around, but when we bring the gospel out into the midst of the people to read it, again, it's this picture of Jesus within us, kind of who we are and where we are, and brought into that middle place of our lives. It's beautiful. And it's one of those things that I think is often easy to miss. You know, we like sheep who think we can handle everything, and, you know, or maybe just don't think enough if you're a sheep. But often that centrality of Jesus gets pushed aside. One other quick aside I just want to say, my wife has a friend who told her this kind of beautiful picture of it. The one exercise they do is when you're going through a hard time or whatever it is, if you're struggling with something, is to, how do you picture that mentally in your brain? Like, are you at the end of a long tunnel? Are you underwater? Are you in the woods? Are you lost? Kind of come up with a mental picture of whatever you're going through, whatever you're struggling. And then once you kind of have that in your brain, you think to yourself, where is Jesus in this picture? And I know for me, so often, he's not there sometimes in the picture because I have forgotten to bring him into that picture, and I've forgotten to bring him into the center of whatever I'm dealing with and whatever is happening in my life. So for me, as I was thinking this through, and how do I then walk out this reality of having this good shepherd who is so central to my life and who is so important to everything, from care, provision, being the gate, protecting me, the thing that I came back to, the thing that jumped out to me, was the concept of his voice. And how the sheep hear his voice. He speaks and the sheep know his voice. When I was growing up, we usually had one dairy cow on the farm. And my dad milked the cow. And The dairy cows are great. Like, I will tell you this. We had Holsteins are like your typical black and white. That's the typical one. Then we also had Jerseys and Guernseys. And I will say, if you're in the market for a dairy cow, go Jersey or Guernsey. The milk is amazing. They're very gentle. We had one that would, like, you, if you climbed the fence, it would walk over to you, let you get on them, and she would kind of walk you around the thing and then bring you back. It was lovely. And my cow, and the cows, you know, we only have one at a time, but my dad would, as he was walking out to milk the cow, he could just call as he's walking out to the barn, and the cow would meet him in the barn. Like, the cow would come in and just be right there. Now, there was a time, once a year, my dad would go to Florida to visit his older siblings that lived in Florida, and he would go down there. And my job those nights were to milk the cow. And I can tell you that even though I used the exact same words my dad used to call the cow did not meet me in the barn. I had to go get the cow, bring the cow in. It was amazing. We also, though, had beef cattle on our farm. And they didn't listen to anyone's voice. They would get out, and they would go after the apples. And then also on our farm, we had a kind of a highway that was in one part, and they would run towards the highway. And so my job when I was young, one of them was, whenever they said cows out, my brother and I would sprint sprint to the road, and then turn and kind of looking and waiting for these dumb cows to come, acting more like sheep than cows. But for me, kind of contrasting those two things of knowing someone's voice and knowing that they're leading me to goodness towards these beef cattle that, you know, were basically running to their own destruction and didn't know it, ignoring everybody to get there and to be there. I just love that picture. I love the idea of knowing a voice and following that voice. And I wanted to read to you, this is, I don't know if anyone's read this, this is Philip Keller. He actually was a shepherd, and he's written three books, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, A Shepherd Looks at the Good Shepherd, and a shepherd looks at the Lamb of God. It's fantastic. If this metaphor resonates with you and you want to go deeper, I highly recommend this book. This is all three of them together, written in the 70s. But I just wanted to read kind of him talking about, from his experience as a shepherd, that idea of the voice. He says, "The relationship which rapidly develops between a shepherd and the sheep under his care is a definite degree dependent upon the use of the shepherd's voice. Sheep quickly become accustomed to their owner's particular voice. They are acquainted with its unique tone. They know its particular sounds and its inflections. They can distinguish it from any other person. If a stranger should come along, they would not recognize nor respond to his voice in the same way that they would the voice of a shepherd." I saw that lived out with my dad and me trying to get a cow to come in. But just that beautiful picture of knowing Christ, knowing me so well, and I knowing him so well that I can hear that voice and respond to it. But the problem is for me, and this is, I'm going to speak to myself for the rest of this. You guys can listen along, but I'm dealing with my own stuff here this morning. I feel like there are so many other voices that kind of crowd out what I'm supposed to do. You know, if I think about it, like all the news things I read, socials, podcasts, books, it's a ton of input, I feel like, that flows through my life, and a ton of just hearing things, if you will. You know, I don't know if any of you guys used your screen time app on your phone that shows you, like, how many hours you used X whatever app. I was afraid if we had, like, a voice time app that was like, here's how many hours you listened to this source this week, you know, what that would reveal in my life. But it's just, it's amazing that knowing, I mean, you know, been doing this a long time. My wife and I joke that we've been professional Christians for a very long time in some aspect or another. Knowing all these things is just not doing often. And so for me, it's that voice of Jesus that kind of opens that pathway to be. I mean, that, like, reading this book, the book about, you know, reading Keller's book, talking about just all the benefits that sheep get from following the voice of their shepherd. That's all they have to do. They have one job, is follow that voice. I have one job, and that's to follow that voice. But I think for me, so often, it's making space for that voice of Jesus. You know, I'm kind of a I kind of got hooked on audiobooks now, so I usually have two or three of those going. I'm usually reading two or three other books. Probably five podcasts, whatever news, movies and TV. I'm a hobby junkie, so like I'll get into a new hobby and I have to listen to every YouTube video about that hobby to figure out what gear I need, how to do it, you know, all this kind of, it's ridiculous. It's amazing the amount of time I spend listening to other people. And it's one of the reasons that I love to go hiking or backpacking, because it's one of the times where I turn everything off. Like, I don't listen to podcasts while I hike. And having those pictures of that clarity and those pictures of that silence and pictures of those times to really just stop and listen is just so clarifying and convicting at the same time. Because so often my life is not that. So often my life is layers of noise. You know, I'm listening to a podcast while I have music on the background and I'm reading another article. It's crazy. What I'm working on here on myself, and I'll let you guys in, is just how do we get to know that voice? Like how does a sheep get to know that voice? And as Keller says, it's just that every day being around and being present with the voice. Trusting that voice to lead you to goodness. It's proven care. We tend to, obviously, I feel more self-sufficient than a sheep. If I fall over, I usually can get back up. But at the same time, how do I then find that dependence and find that place to be? For me, I think the first is just silence, is just turning things off. Having the discipline to walk away from things and not have three things going and not be reading something. It's difficult, I think, because that silence leads to introspection. It leads to so many things that I want to turn off because I have so many things going on in my brain. Like, if I listen to something, it helps me turn off that subconscious of my brain, if you will. And so constant noise helps kind of dull that, those nagging thoughts in the back of my head. So that discipline of silence is very important to me. Difficult, but important. Then also just scripture, just getting to know the actual voice of Jesus, reading his words. It's amazing to every once in a while think you know what Jesus said and realize he never said that. Or to say, oh, Jesus never talked about that, and realize, oh yeah, he kind of did talk about that. We tend to ignore it. But just spending time, even the daily office is a great place to start, just a way to be in that intentional, the sheep are there every day, showing up every day to be. To the point where, I don't know if you ever have said this, if you heard anyone say something about someone you knew, and in your back of your mind, it's like, that doesn't sound like them. That basically you know that person so well that when you hear something about them, you know yes or no that vibe or doesn't vibe. That's how I want to know Jesus. I want to know his voice well enough so that if someone says something, I'm like, it doesn't sound like Jesus. To have that detection kind of built in there. There's a couple of great books that I would recommend, again, if you want to go deeper into this. Hearing God by Dallas Willard is fabulous, and Discernment by Henry Nouwen. You kind of get the Protestant kind of biblical perspective and the Catholic mystical perspective, and you put them together, and you have the Anglican perspective, I guess. So I recommend those two. Spiritual direction is fantastic in this way. We offer spiritual direction here, both in group and individual. Actually, should ask Becca about that for more information there. Just a way to find time to kind of break the cycle of being that dumb sheep that just wants to do everything on their own. And the question I'm kind of asking myself as I go in this is, whose voice is dominant in my life? Whose voice has the most hours, the most airtime, the most brainwaves, the most things happening with me? Because the beautiful thing is, when we hear his voice, there is life. When we hear his voice, those promises in Psalm 23 come true. We're led to still waters. We are led to green pastures. We're led to peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
If you would like more information or ways to be a part of Luminous, please go to luminousanglican.com. Peace be with you.